Let's freaking go. LSU has their quarterback locked in for next season. It will be Garrett Nussmeier, and it is indeed a very good thing that you are bringing him back. Look, it's simple. You always want experience at the quarterback position. It's basically the entire college football playoff outside of Tennessee and maybe a few others. How many teams recently have had big time success with year one, year two, or just new signal callers? You want the year four, the year five, the year six guys, especially one that's returning to LSU, one that really loves playing for the Tigers. Now, this is a message to Garrett Nussmeier. While I am very excited that you are back, okay, I want you to come in a little bit closer to us if you are watching this right now. I know you are getting ready for next season, but if there's one thing I would tell you, it is the thing that has separated the good LSU quarterbacks and the elite, elite, elite transcendent Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. They humbled themselves. They really looked at themselves in the mirror and said, what do I need to do? What are the weaknesses in my game that I need to improve upon? And that's what Garrett Nussmeier needs to ask himself, because the funny thing about it is there is a lot of really easy things that he needs to do to not only make himself a better quarterback, but to make the LSU offense just better as a whole. Obviously, one of those things is running every now and then. Pretty much every other successful pocket quarterback gives you something as a runner. You don't even need to take a hit. You don't even need to gain 10 yards, 5 yards here, 7 yards there. Carson Beck's really good at those things. Obviously, in big games, actually, Quinn Ewers has been potent with his legs in the scramble game. Obviously, that's going to be one big thing for Garrett going into next season. And there's 1,000 other things that will require more work, including Garrett Nussmeier's deep passing ability. Now, I do think one thing that will help Garrett Nussmeier next season is actually the loss of his best receiver in Kyren Lacy, because I felt last year Garrett Nussmeier would just lock in on him and make really bad and predetermined throws with the football. Obviously, one that should have ended the game versus South Carolina, the game that we can't quit hearing South Carolina fans bitch and moan about. So it's definitely fun, okay? Type Y for yes, type N for no, if you can hear me loud and clear. I have been traveling, and we'll get into the next topic. But if you are the praying type, as you can see, we have to scoot this live stream back to 9 p.m. I did have a family emergency that I needed to go take care of. So before we get into this next topic, I know you guys just want to talk about LSU football. I say this because it might affect our LSU content schedule. Now, we're still going to do transfer portal videos of transfer portal targets. All right. We've already done two over the last 24 hours. So I was traveling. I was in Little Rock, Arkansas to see the great Justin Timberlake. And after the show, the family emergency popped up. It's just been a crazy day. But in the hotel, I don't like not working. I don't like taking days off. So I've been cutting film studies. Lucas, the young transfer from Jackson State, guys that we're going after, all right? You can check out those film studies, okay? Now, back to LSU football. Look, Garrett Nussmeier, it is the single most important thing, the single most important question. And honestly, this would be the big question. Did he make the right decision? Should he have gone to the NFL? And the answer to that is no. The answer to that is a resounding no. The best quarterbacks in the NFL had multiple years of starters experience. It's just that simple. Y'all, quarterback is the one position where you can go plan all your little fancy Instagram workouts, throw with other famous quarterbacks and receivers, look sexy, throwing in underwear, but the best way to get better is experience. So for Garrett's future, I think this was the right decision for him, even though there are some draft analysts that really, really, really do like him. You know, I'll say this from an NFL perspective. He is far from a finished product, as everyone can clearly state. I really do mean, like, take my LSU bias out of it. I do think this is a good thing that he's not going to the NFL. I don't think he's ready. I really don't. Now, the other question would be, would LSU have been better if Garrett Nussmeier decided to go to the NFL draft? I don't think so. You know, it would have been interesting to see what LSU's transfer portal market would have been for a quarterback had Garrett decided to go to the NFL. But, you know, every single trend that we see at the quarterback position, it's all about continuity and or age, right? We have seen obscene, absolutely positively obscene leaps from average quarterbacks to like literally all-time great at their university quarterbacks. Bo Nix, first year at Oregon, second year at Oregon. Michael Penix, first year at Washington, second year at Washington. Obviously, the LSU guys. There are so many. So this was the right decision for LSU because I do think the LSU quarterback position, let's just say Garrett decided to go, it would draw a lot of interest from different quarterbacks in the portal, obviously. But, you know, I know some of you prefer to have a quarterback that can run. I just don't know any quarterback that would have just been dying to play in an LSU offense that wasn't the best last year. We were very good, and we have some good players returning next season. But I do think this was the best decision for LSU. So for both parties, normally it's either one or the other. But for both parties, this was a really, really, really good decision. Now, I'm going to share a bunch of different opinions on the bowl game upcoming. Obviously, the second biggest story of the day was the schedule. Okay, so let's take a look at the schedule. But I want to briefly do something here that will go against a lot of your morals and ethics as a college football fan. I don't mind opt-outs for the bowl game if you're a clear-cut first-round pick. The brand equity you give your school being a first-round pick in the NFL draft is massive. It is absolutely massive. And Will Campbell, in April, if he is indeed selected in the first round, I could see a world where for some reason he does slide. Because he's not the most bulletproof athletic prospect you'll ever see. I think he's going to be phenomenal in the NFL. I think most of you believe so as well. I've seen some say, well, I mean, you're a captain. You wore the number 7 uniform. You're known for being a leader on and off the field. Why are you opting out of the bowl game? Well, number one, answer this question. Is it more important for us to have not only a first-round pick in the NFL draft, but our first-round offensive lineman since Alan Faneca in 1998? I think that is more important. The second thing is I do think there's a few things he's going to want to edge up on before the combine. I do think his athletic testing is going to be very interesting in the minds of many. So I'm fine with Will Campbell doing this. And you have to keep this in mind as well. Can we not give this guy just a little bit of grace knowing what he's done to carry our locker room since his senior year of high school football? Remember, Will Campbell, who was in Northwest Arkansas, all right, traveled to all the Southern Louisiana recruiting announcements. 3 hours down, 3 hours back, 3 hours down, 3 hours back. Was there for every teammate. Had personal tragedy. Had a weird, weird medical issue in that one Tennessee game and then went on to never miss a game again. I'm fine with giving him some leniency on opting out of the bowl game, especially a bowl game like this one. Now, if this were maybe against Michigan, I don't know. But I'm fine with Will Campbell opting out of the bowl game. And overall, I have been a little bit more lenient to LSU opt-outs. Okay, let's go to Trey. Nuss is back. Tigers are on Santa's nice list. Let's freaking go. Trey's a Nuss bus driver. Let's go. You know, look, this would be the next thing. We'll talk about PJ Woodland. We'll talk about all of that coming up as well. I want everyone to really listen closely. I want you to really think about this. While Garrett Nussmeier coming back is big, does it really matter if you don't like what you have at play caller? Should Joe Sloan come back? Because look, if we want to say, and I've said this obviously at the beginning of the show, we want continuity. We want cohesion. Then if that's the case, you can make an argument, a very strong one, to bring Joe Sloan back. Hey, he's a young offensive coordinator. It's his first year actually calling the shots. Let's bring back Cortez. Let's bring back Brad Davis. And bring in a tight ends coach like a Tommy Rees to come help out. That's not what I would do. I do think they need to get somebody new. But I don't know how that's going to work at this juncture. So we've not really heard anything on that front. But we'll see. We'll see. Now, let's get into the schedule. And then we'll talk about certain players. We'll talk about PJ Woodland. We'll talk about him. I also think there's still some movement that will happen with not only the staff, but with some of the players. I mean, we're still in a constant state of flux. Does every single LSU assistant want to be back next season? Do they want to abandon ship? The simple truth is this. Every single coaching staff has at least two of their 10 on-field coaches that are thinking about that next move. That's just how it works. And really, on average, you're probably switching out coaches about two every year anyway. So, as Hayden points out, could Cortez Hankton go to the NFL? He's gotten a lot of NFL love. I've also just seen wide receiver coaches in general get more love without any play calling experience to actually get big jobs, right? We had a pretty big head coaching search announcement today, and it wasn't the hooded guy going to Chapel Hill, but the West Virginia job, they're looking at Brian Hartline, co-OC, but known mostly as the wide receivers coach for Ohio State. He got a job interview today, and he's not really called plays, not really his thing. Okay. Now, let's talk about the LSU schedule. You guys know I'm a schedule junkie. And what has been the single biggest topic in college football when it comes to on the field discussion? Obviously, the biggest topic is NIL transfer portal. Okay. It's the schedule. Strength of schedule. That's what everybody points to. Now, as you can see, the home teams are listed in white. The road games are gold. So let's go through and see if LSU got a semi-favorable schedule this year. Okay? I actually don't like the way that this graphic looks. I think it's a little hard to keep up with. Let's actually pull just a straight line listed out here. Some elite capital J journalism from friend of the show, Wilson Alexander. I think I've met Wilson once. Really like Wilson. Shout out to you, man. So let's go through LSU's schedule for 2025 together. August 30th at Clemson. We knew that. Louisiana Tech in week two. The earliest the Florida game has been played in recent memory. So far, at Clemson, Louisiana Tech, Florida. More than likely, Clemson's going to be a night game. Louisiana Tech, hopefully that Florida game is a night game. And you get Southeastern to start the year. Holy crap. I love the schedule for LSU to start the year. I really, really, really do. Multiple home games. I love teams that start their season off with a ton of home games because teams aren't in their final product. You start off with home games, you're at a huge advantage early in the season. You're not traveling a bunch, not putting as much miles on your team. I feel as if the friendly confines of Tiger Stadium, it's always more raucous early in the season, baby. Because, look, you don't have the situation where last year you were just out of it by the time you played Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. So start off with, three home games and obviously a tough one on the road at Clemson right off the jump. But we knew going into the year that the Clemson game was going to be brutal. And then we get the Ole Miss game, and then we get a bye week after. So it's a little bit different than what we had last year. Or this year, excuse me. Ole Miss, we had a bye week before playing them. We do get Southeastern before we play them. Then it's a bye week on October 4th. The schedule is the exact same when it comes to bye week allocation. I actually love this bye week allocation. I like starting, I prefer a 5-3-4 with the double bye instead of a 4-4-4 or a 3-5-4. Bye week. And then you have South Carolina at Vandy, Texas A&M. Bye week. Then you're at Bama, Arkansas, Western Kentucky, and rebuilding Oklahoma. I knew going into this that the schedule was going to be favorable. Now, what do we know? Well, Florida and South Carolina, they're going to be really good next season. I still like Ole Miss next year, even though a lot of their talent is going to be gone. All three of their teams, promising young quarterbacks. Clemson, of course, Clemson's going to be tough. They're going to be a playoff team this year. And then Vandy, Texas A&M, at Bama, Arkansas, Western Kentucky, at Oklahoma. I couldn't have asked for a better end of the season for LSU. So, obviously, I really like the way that the schedule shaped up. No games back-to-back on the road. You guys know it is so hard to win back-to-back road games in the SEC. LSU, one of the few teams when it comes to the schedule with back-to-back road games. All right? Really good stuff. You also don't have back-to-back games versus top 15 recruiters. Now, it's a little bit different with the transfer portal. That doesn't matter as much because every team is good now. Every single team is good. This is a new SEC. Everybody's got money. Everyone's got revenue share money. So let's take Vanderbilt. Old school Vandy, they're not getting a five-star defensive end. But now they have one, Keanu Cole. Transfers from Alabama, commits to Vanderbilt. Now, is he any good? I don't know. But those types of profiles never went to Vandy. But now they do. Now they do. Same thing with Ole Miss. Obviously, South Carolina was able to re-sign their superstar defensive end. So, look, the schedule shapes up pretty nicely, if you ask me. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the absolute most brutal schedule imaginable, think this year's Florida Gator schedule, and 1 being un-freaking-believably soft, think, I don't know, SMU schedule. All right. 1 being the lowest, 10 being the absolute hardest. Rate the schedule for 2025. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of portal additions for all those teams. Pegasus, is Western Kentucky a trap game? Thank you so much, Jared, for the super chat. Second super chat of the evening. Appreciate it. So we got a 4-7-5 from Ironhead, Tony the Tiger. William, we're going, bro. Let's go. Hey, I appreciate the prayers up, Hayden. I appreciate you, man. Yeah, man. Hug your loved ones. But nothing crazy. We were able to deal with it. But now, we get to the sexy part of the stream. What is it with the transfer portal? What the heck is happening? Look, I'll be honest. Obviously, I was traveling today. I wasn't able to keep up with every last little bit of portal movement. But still, so far, up to this point in the season, how many big-time contributors from last year's roster has entered the portal? One, CJ Daniels. Now, there are guys like Deshaun Womack who I'm like, okay, sure. But there was a second. I thought JVR Suggs entering the portal was interesting. I didn't even know he had an extra year of eligibility. I can understand JVR Suggs' frustration with his playing time because his PFF grades are really good. And he does something that a lot of teams covet, which is pass rushing. Okay, so JVR Suggs, freaking like this guy. I really do. I always cheer for the underdog story from Grand Valley State University. Obviously, the connection to Brian Kelly there as well. But is this a ginormous loss for LSU? I would say yes, because he's a good defensive tackle. I would also say, though, he is on the smaller side, and he did have some issues with fitting the run last year. All right, so I don't know how the run fits work because the only people that truly know how it works are the people in the building. That's it. It's just that simple. I will say, though, there were times I felt just by my best educated guesses that he was outside of his intended gap. One of those was the big Ole Miss touchdown run earlier this year. Okay? So, I do think it's a loss, obviously, with a player with that much age. You would have liked to hold on to that type of player. Okay? Brian Kelly earlier today said most of LSU's transfers have been expected. There were a couple there that just didn't add up to us. But that's what happens when you have unlimited transfers. Sometimes those things happen. You have to continue to move forward. Okay. Here's a major problem I have with the criticizing a kid's decision to enter the transfer portal. And I'm talking about any kid's decision. And I feel like this is important, especially in the discussion, you know, of PJ Woodland, right? There are no guardrails for this. Like, I cannot stress this enough how crazy this is, all right? Are there transfer portal windows? Yeah, there's windows. But a lot of this NIL stuff is not legally binding contracts, like coaches, if that makes sense, all right? You can just do it on your own. One thing that's happened at a lot, and I mean a lot of SEC schools, we have had a ton of transfers that have just happened, even though recently they are on the record saying, I'm looking forward to being back next season. Okay, CJ Daniels, week before, Brian Kelly, I'm excited CJ Daniels is coming back. CJ Daniels himself told the media, looking forward to next season. But he has 100% power. It's his own inhibition to actually decide to enter the transfer portal. You can do whatever he wants. You can do whatever you want. And there is an unlimited amount of opportunity. Now, we do know there is a finite amount of opportunities because there's only so many scholarships and snaps and all of that to be thrown around. But think about if you're a player, and let's just say your situation isn't the most bulletproof situation you could imagine for a college football player. You could be like, man, I could be in a better position somewhere else. And keep in mind, most recruits won't admit this, but you've seen all these other campuses. You don't think recruits, when they are, shown the red carpet at every single venue that they go to, you don't think it ever passes their minds? Hey, I could have gone there and been good and had a good time and had fun. It's kind of just the in vogue thing to do. One thing that I feel is very underrated when it comes to the transfer portal is a dopamine hit of putting out a notification that you are entering the transfer portal. It's a cool thing to do. You're cool. You get all these different fan bases begging and pleading for you to go to their school. Dopamine matters. Okay. Now, I do want to say this to college football players. Get the hell off Snapchat. It's not a private chat. Some of you will get this reference. That thing, a water park? Really? That was leaked in a Snapchat. Stay off, in the Stephen A. Smith voice. Stay off the Snapchat. I still can't believe it. Is that thing a water park? No, he said, is she a water park? What if she responded? No, it's Six Flags Over Texas, baby. Let's go. We got 182 viewers in here. What's my age again? Roller coaster fit. Some of y'all got that reference. I actually kind of, if I would have done roller coaster, that's actually a deep Blink 182 cut. But whatever. And it doesn't show up 182 on like YouTube because it's like Twitter and Facebook viewers, all that stuff, all mixed into one. I don't know. I don't get any views on Facebook, so it doesn't make any sense. But still. Now, I want to say something that is kind of hard to realize in the moment. Jared, thank you for another super chat. Appreciate it. It's kind of hard to realize. And when I did the Blink-182 thing, I immediately lost 15 viewers. Great. Say that to Tom. I'm calling Mark Hoppus. I'm calling Travis Barker. I'm calling Tom. They're not going to be happy with you guys. I didn't know we had that many Blink-182 haters in here. Sorry, I didn't have 41 viewers in here to do it. I don't want to waste my time. Tragedy, anxiety, I want to fall in on. Carvis, what's good, bro? Carvis comes in right at the emo rock days. Love it. Okay, coming up next. What's the latest with PJ Woodland? Could any of these guys potentially come back? I think they could. I mean, once again, it's free. It costs nothing to enter the transfer portal. One other thing. Players can flip-flop on it. There's a high-profile Arkansas player that just flip-flopped like multiple times in a day recently. Some guys are just entering with no real reason to enter. They're just trying to get a bigger bag out of the negotiation. But PJ Woodland is actually someone I would really like to keep. Because, man, he had some battle wounds this year, but he also had some really good snaps. I think he still could be something. But, you know, there's a bunch of rumors out there. Okay. Now, coming up next, we will talk about a player that is a near mortal lock to transfer to LSU at a prime position that I am worried about. But first,
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's XYANImaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go. All righty. So, Jakeem Jackson, I tweeted this out earlier today. Which college football transfer portal player do you want to see a film study of? And Jakeem Jackson was by far the number one player that people DM, Instagram, all that stuff. So let me ask you this. Type Y for yes, type N for no. Have you been able to check out are prospect film studies. We have done multiple. Let me know. Yeah, my analytics have given me some mixed signals that it doesn't get as many views, but it gets a high click-through rate, which means those that do see it, they're very interested. So let's talk about Jakeem Jackson. I've actually watched a decent amount of him up to this point, and this is a year three top 100 corner. This is a player from the Corey Raymond regime. Obviously, he coaches young man as a true freshman. So, top 100 recruit, typical Corey Raymond athletic corner. And I'll be honest with you, the tape is rough. It is rough. And that's okay. Corner is really hard, especially if you're playing it at a very young age. And he's got good reps. I'm not saying he doesn't. I will also say one thing that I really do like about him is because Florida has played such a difficult schedule, he has drawn very difficult matchups. So in the one game that he played earlier this year versus a team with the pulse, he had to go up against Miami. Miami was by far the best passing attack in college football this season. The year before, you know, he played a somewhat decent amount of snaps versus Tennessee. Now, of course, the Tennessee 2023 offense wasn't anything like crazy, but they were still good. So he's going up against Brew McCoy. He's going up against Joe Milton. Joe Milton's in the NFL, will probably be in the NFL a long time, and Brew McCoy's going to get drafted this next year. So he is very battle-tested, even though the sample size of snaps is not the biggest. But I think LSU needs to bring in multiple corners. I think if you bring him in, I think you got to bring at least two more in, right? Because you're taking a risk. You're taking a risk because to me, at corner, I want you to go out there and get someone that's done it for a full season. I understand this has faded off. But in speaking to former defensive backs that have made DBU into what it is now, they don't want to be forgotten that LSU is DBU. They want to bring it back. It's weird, right? When we talk LSU, we never really talk defensive backs because we've just not had that be our brand over the past couple of seasons, okay? So, you know, let's go get some dudes. Let's go get some dudes. It's not something that I'm necessarily on fire about. Now, do I want him to sign with LSU? Yeah, of course. We need as much help as we can get. But this feels, and I understand I get a lot of pushback when you say these kinds of things while this recruitment is going on. But this kind of feels like some of the DBs that we brought in recently. Let's go out there, bring him in, but let's have a plan to bring in even more, okay? There's a corner. He wears Uno from Arizona that's in the portal. Very interesting player, 6'4". He's got great size. Not been able to watch him, obviously. Busy last 48 hours for those that are just joining us. Appreciate all the love and support. But look, it's not that it's any personal or anything like that. It's just I don't want us to think that that's going to be the answer. All right. And Cortland points it out. Corner and safety. The Arkansas DB in the portal, TJ Metcalf, very productive player. His stats are a little bit misleading. Like he had one absolutely positively ginormous statistical game versus Auburn. And we know Auburn, I I hate to say this, but Auburn's offense as a defender is the best offense for your stats, because you know Peyton Thorne is going to pick six. Okay. Takaro Davis is his name. So, yeah. Jacoby Matthews and Jakeem Jackson. Obviously, I would be a lot more excited about Jacoby Matthews because I think he's really good. I really liked him in high school. And that dude's a rare athlete, man. He is fluid. Like butter. Now, I want to have an adult conversation about quarterbacks. Since we already talked the big Garrett Nussmeier story. You know, it's hard to predict anything when it comes to quarterbacks. It is so hard. But with the way things played out, maybe the biggest butterfly effect of the past couple of seasons was Garrett Nussmeier sitting out of the Texas Bowl. So that was such a big topic, and I was very pro Garrett Nussmeier playing in the bowl game. And boy, was I wrong. It's okay to admit you're wrong. We wouldn't be in this spot now if Garrett Nussmeier elected to play in the bowl game. But I also think history would have played out differently. Let's say Garrett Nussmeier goes out there, wins the bowl game. Does Jayden Daniels ever come to LSU? Because if Garrett goes out there, plays really well, maybe Brian Kelly says, look, we got our QB right here, and let's build from there. So that would have taken a year of eligibility away from Garrett Nussmeier, and it could have potentially taken Jayden Daniels away. So that decision was so big in retrospect, and it was the right decision. The absolute positively right decision. Now, here is something I would do if I was a coach of a major college football program. Is I do think if I'm going after a player and he still has his redshirt year remaining, I am heavily reconsidering going after that player. Now let that sink in, let it marinate as to why that is the case. So I have far radicalized myself to preserve the redshirt the absolute best you can if you're a middling team. Now, if you're a team, obviously early in the season, you got to have a conversation with every single true freshman or year two player. What are you going to do? What's best for the team? I think if I were a coach and you were a year three, year four, or year five player, I'm not thinking about preserving your redshirt. You had your first 2 years to do that. So if I am shelling out big money, if I'm a college football GM, I'm heavily considering not going after players that still have a redshirt year remaining. It's just too tantalizing if things go sour to quit the team and preserve that extra year of eligibility so you can get another NIL check and another year of eligibility. Just to keep that in mind, okay? Now, most players you go after in the portal, they've already redshirted a year. Let's keep that in mind. Now, next thing. It is somewhat relevant to this conversation as well. Walker Howard transfers to ULL Lafayette, whatever the name is. I have nothing against a Raging Cajun fan base. I don't. I've gotten into it with them once before, but I'm not into it as deep as my really good friends Preston and Blake Carr. I am cheering for Walker Howard. And boy, did he make a right decision here. This is an absolute genius decision to go play at this level. Now, what's very interesting is there are so many players that are SEC starters or backups. They just take one small step down and they're studs. Okay, who freaking remembers Alex Adams at LSU? That is a deep cut. Alex Adams was a three-star wide receiver out of Mississippi. He goes to LSU, obviously can't rise a wide receiver depth chart. And what does he do? Transfers to Akron, immediately an alpha wide receiver. Immediately. Go play. This is so strange to me. I couldn't freaking believe it. I didn't even know this. But Zach Calzada, who remembers him? Texas A&M quarterback who beat Alabama. Dude is balling out at the lower levels. Cole Kelly from Lafayette, Louisiana, backup quarterback at Arkansas, was the FCS player of the year at Southeastern. Humble yourself, go a level down, and play. So if Walker Howard is a real deal, go to the home city school and dominate. Absolutely, positively dominate. Now, this is where it gets spicy. This is where it's going to get spicy. Okay? Put it in a pressure cooker. Because it's about to get spicy. Garrett Nussmeier, Walker Howard, your next two quarterbacks at LSU. Garrett Nussmeier plays this season out. Walker Howard farm systems his way up to LSU for his final year of eligibility. That will be the absolute most portal story in the history of portals. Like, you know, what's the name of Benedict Cumberbatch's character on the Marvel Avengers? Like, you know, that portal? That's Walker Howard walking through the stately oaks and broad magnolias to play his final season at LSU. I can already see the Lawrence Fishburne Matrix memes prophecies being fulfilled. What if that happens? Now, Colin Hurley has a lot to say about that. AJ Swan and Bryce. I won't get into that, though. Too many crazy college football stories going on in North Carolina right now. But y'all clip that. Clip it and see how UL fans treat that. God, dog. Walker Howard would be hated if he did that. UL hates being looked at as little brother to LSU. Now, let's get into a few other college football stories. We will have another film study potentially tomorrow released. Once again, thanks for your patience. It's amazing. We move our stream back 3 hours because of my family emergency, and you guys still show up in big numbers, right? I really do appreciate you guys so much. I don't thank you guys enough. I really, really, really do. Okay. You know, it's amazing that last year, if you would have walked up to me and said, Nick Saban will be in the broadcasting booth and Bill Belichick will be coaching college football, I would have said, pass me that Cheech and Chong blunt. Pass it to me. Give me some of that gas because you're smoking stuff that I will never touch. But it happened. William, thank you so much. I really appreciate your super chat. First drinks on you for the Clemson opener. I got to talk to my wife. I got to go. Actually have connections at Clemson. And I used to do radio, obviously, in Spartanburg, Greenville region. Obviously, that's not Clemson, but still. So Bill Belichick, college football coach, North Carolina. Holy shnike, I love this story. I freaking love this story. You want to know why? It makes no damn sense. It makes absolutely positively no damn sense. Mac Brown, who's 72, he's out. So you go get another 72-year-old coach who has a lot of baggage. Like, not like nefarious, evil baggage, but this is an entire operation coming to Chapel Hill. You have, obviously, the head coach in waiting with his son. So you have some nepotism involved here. You have a program with rich tradition and history in another sport. So Bill Belichick won't even be the biggest man on campus. That will be Hubert Davis, right? I mean, unless North Carolina actually won natties in football or got to the playoff, I don't see a world where that ever comes close to UNC basketball. Weird situation. Okay, very weird situation. But holy heck, I can't wait. I can't wait. Now, I do think one area of this is being overblown, which is the young girlfriend thing. Like, you're paying the highest profile employee $10 million a year. And he's dating someone who is the same age as a six-year senior. Okay? So I saw an entrepreneur named Sweaty Startup had a viral tweet about that. Y'all, here's what I will say. And I'm not, we could get into the actual old guy dating young girl logic or the morality of that. I think it's weird, but live your life. Okay, it's legal. Whatever. I will say, the dating life of Power Four head coaches is a slippery slope that you do not really want to get into. All right. You know, yesterday I was at so I went to go see Justin Timberlake yesterday, and I actually bumped into someone in the know in college football. You know, it's cool when you're, I'm definitely not as famous as a guy on the stage, but it's cool when, you know, you have people that watch your channel. Okay. So obviously JT, the GOAT, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but he touched my wife last night and it was pretty awesome. So JT, thank you. You made my wife's night. Serious. Go check out our breakdown from earlier. Cry me a river. Yeah, pressure. Touch my wife. Didn't even ask me first. I was standing right there. I watched it happen. Touch my wife. My wife did things I didn't know she could do. She never had a reaction like that. I know, Sway. Okay. So you got to think about it this way. You have maybe the greatest male pop star of this generation. And then you have
YouTuber with 20,000 subscribers across all platforms. One looks like a god. The other looks like chubby Bruno Mars. Everybody watched it happen, actually. It was crazy. Pressure, hit her up tomorrow. She'll tell you all of it. Well, you're friends with me on Facebook. She went super viral on Facebook for this. Now y'all are really excited. Huh? Oh, my God. This is it. Yes. Yes. Oh, that is so funny. That is so good. That's so good, dude. Oh, my God. The irony is not lost on me here, Jared. With the t-shirt that you're wearing. That is so freaking good, bro. Oh, my God. Oh, God. I think Sacco's around my age. JT was that guy for us growing up. Is JT my favorite, like, pop artist of the past couple of decades? Rihanna's number one. I still got to see her in concert for me. But JT might be my favorite. You know, I'm a big Bruno Mars guy, too. Obviously, you know, you have Beyonce, Taylor Swift, all those. But Riri's my number one. Now, there's another big college football story I wanted to get into. All right, I'm about to make one plea. One plea, if that's okay. You guys know there's not a single human being in all college football media that cares more about jersey numbers than me. Holy crap, I care so much about it. I don't know why. I think every single one of us have just something about sports that grinds our gears. Okay. For Prussia, I know, I actually know Prussia's, it's the baggy undershirt. I hate that too. I really do. Number one, I don't think it looks good. Number two, it is a severe disadvantage to have the baggy undershirt. Like, really, the only position where it can have no effect on you at all is like offensive line. But it makes, I could see a huge disadvantage of the baggy undershirt. Like Bryce Young had a ridiculous one versus Eagles. And I have pressure, we talk about it all the time. But, you know, obviously, Garrett Nussmeier is going to be the most hyped player on the team going into next season. He should remain number 13. That's just kind of always been his number. But for the life of me, please, please keep Caden Durham at number 29. Please. All right. He has his own legacy with number 29. Don't put him in a single digit. Don't do the number 7 thing with Caden Durham. I am a traditionalist. Keep those traditional running back numbers. I'm please, Caden Durham, stay number 29. Like, it's so cool. Dan Mullen to UNLV. Oh, this could be fun as hell. Let's go. Connor Wigman to Houston. Interesting to run the Willie Fritz offense. Let's go. UNC, $20 million in NIL. Mike Lombardi is going to run, okay,
the program. All right. That's interesting.
What a day. See, I told you, that undershirt, dude, that drives you crazy. Absolutely drives you crazy. All right, we will be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central. Jared's top pop guy, or gal, excuse me, is Kesha. Jared, man, you've always looked like Mick Jagger. Interesting. Yeah, I'm still kind of catching up to some of the other SEC news. So I'll let you know, guys, what's going on. I won't say specifically, but someone in my family had a little bit of a health scare. So I appreciate all your prayers. I really do. But if you are just joining us, our content schedule might get moved around just a little bit. The next thing is transfer portal news is going to be so unfreaking believably fluid. Like it's constant. So if you come to me with a question, I don't mind looking at any player, but understand that like a lot of my viewpoint is going to be on the player himself, not so much how a visit went or what the NIL deal is going to be. Because honestly, you need a general manager to do the NIL stuff.
You just do.
Like, for instance, the Florida Gators, their star pass rusher, Jack Plyburn, is not really a pass rusher. He's just a good end. He wants 45K a month. Third down assurances and all this stuff. And Florida said, okay, you can walk. So here's my thing. If you go in the portal and you're walking away from 45K a year, well, if you're telling me that you're a diva and you want third down assurances, if that is indeed what's true here, then why am I jumping the gun to go get you? That don't really make a lot of sense to me, unless I'm just tripping. Another thing, one program that I feel has always had like culture issues is Florida State. There's always some type of chaos, and mixed in the chaos, you have a few like really, really, really amazing teams. It's basically been Florida State football. If I were a head coach, I would not touch the Boston College quarterback with a 10-foot pole. Wouldn't do it. I'm just not doing it. Wide receivers being selfish, sure. I can live with that. Quarterbacks, I mean, there was no red shirt preservation going on there. He just quit the team. He lost his job, quit the team. Why do I want to bring that guy in to leave my locker room next year? Doesn't make any sense. That's just me. Big thanks to Trey. Jared, I appreciate you guys as well. But am I tripping on that? I don't think I am. But yes, we'll be back live again tomorrow. 5 p.m. Central. Normal Thursday night live stream. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Garrett Nussmeyer's back, baby. Let's go. And hopefully he gets better. You know, one thing I'm going to think about is just the running thing. Like, do I prefer in the modern game to have a quarterback who can give me something with his legs? Sure, I do. But, you know, there's intricacies with Garrett's running that I think are complicated. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. Tonight, we are doing some ribs. Let's go.